300 years ago today, more than 1,000 Native American chiefs, elders, and warriors gathered in Montreal in what was then known as New France. They came from as far north as James Bay and from the Mississippi Valley to the south. They made the journey to negotiate a peace treaty with the leaders of New France. The agreement they reached came to be known as the Great Peace of Montreal. It marked a major realignment of relations between natives and non-natives in North America. Reporter Ian Flett does the story.
Section four.
Ceremonies at the Pointe à Callière Museum in Montreal yesterday called attention to a document that's been largely forgotten, though it was a diplomatic triumph when it was signed 3 centuries ago. At the time, the French were pursuing a lucrative trade in the New World. They exchanged guns and ammunition for animal pelts gathered by more than a dozen tribes surrounding the Great Lakes, Ojibways, Algonquin, and Huron. All of them were allied with the French. But the French were often attacked by other Indian tribes, collectively known as the Iroquois Confederacy, which were allied with the British. However, the Iroquois wanted to expand their trade, says author and historian Olive Dickison.
The problem had become one of increasing difficulty in trade, for instance, with the fur trade, and the increasing necessity, especially for the Iroquois, to have access to the west and to the north of the Great Lakes.
The Iroquois were remarkable fighters, vast in number and capable of moving quickly through the undergrowth of the forest. They were so effective that it was said the sovereignty of New France extended only as far as a musket's range from the walls of a French fort. But more and more Iroquois were dying, not from battles, but from disease, a plethora of diseases that the Europeans had brought with them to the New World. For every Iroquois who died in battle, 3 more died of disease. This forced the Iroquois to consider negotiations with the French. Cautious negotiations. Trent University historian Dale Standen explains.
It's extremely important to understand the Iroquois were playing both sides against the middle. They always did. They were very effective diplomats. They were in a very dangerous position. They played the game of war in the 17th century. And when they recognized that they were about to lose that one, they negotiated their way out of it, maintained their independence, and very strong political clout. The French were always apprehensive about what the Iroquois were going to do.
The French were eager to make peace with the Iroquois. University of Quebec historian Alain Beaulieu. The first objective of the peace treaty, Beaulieu says, was to limit the military front that the Iroquois represented. He says the French knew that the 5 nations of the Iroquois Confederacy were Britain's closest allies and that the war with Britain was imminent. An agreement between the French and the Iroquois would rob the British of key allies in the coming conflict. The French governor in 1701 was Louis Hector de Callière. He sent emissaries across the region to invite every tribe and nation to Montreal to negotiate peace. The trip to Montreal was long and treacherous for the tribal leaders. Huron Chief Condiaronc described it in a speech that was transcribed at the time. The Pointe à Callière Museum has a reenactment of Condiaronc's words.
The waterfalls, the rapids, and the thousands of other obstacles were as nothing before our desire to see you and to assemble here. We found many of our brothers lying dead all along the river. Our spirits were sore. There were rumors of great illness in Montreal. And we could see convincing proof of this as we came across all manner of bodies ravaged by birds. But we made a bridge out of all these bodies that allowed us to walk safely across.
More than 1,200 native ambassadors representing 39 nations made their way to the meeting, doubling the population of Montreal. They were welcomed with gun salutes from the French soldiers. Dale Standen.
Callière had succeeded wonderfully in appreciating the format, the medium of Aboriginal negotiation. Ceremony was extremely important, and he laid it on very thickly. Lots of pomp and ceremony, lots of color and dress.
The entire assembly sat in an open field. The often difficult discussion lasted several days. During the deliberations, Chief Condiaronc himself died from an illness he contracted in Montreal. Callière seized the opportunity to show his respect with a state funeral. That funeral, along with a final understanding on prisoner exchanges, led to the signing of the Great Peace Agreement. Today, the document is on display in the Pointe-à-Calière Museum in Montreal.
Well, this is what we call the Treaty of 1701.
The document consists of four sheets of yellowing parchment. The chiefs of the 39 nations signed the document with small pictograms, representing themselves or their tribes. A line drawing of a small wading bird, his peak pointing to the ground, his tiny wings in the air, represented Onondaga Iroquois. There are drawings of turtles, a peace pipe, a bear, a bow and arrow, fish, and representations of men. Next to each of these unique signatures is the name of the group and its chief, written by French scribes. The Huron, the Oneida, the Abenakis of Acadia, the Miamis, and the Peoria. The great peace of Montreal eventually eroded, as small conflicts erupted after it was signed, and it fell apart completely when the French and the British went to war in the mid-18th century. What lingers today is the memory of a brief time when Europeans treated Native Americans with honor. For NPR News, this is Ian Flett in Montreal.